From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Acosta hooks it into the traffic, a free header, and it's a goal! The United States has scored! Miles Robinson!
Viene Acosta, la sirve, arriba!
You can call them the Kings of CONCACAF if you want. The United States winning the Gold Cup with essentially a B team over Mexico. It wasn't a full Mexico team either, but it was definitely a more experienced Mexican national team. We welcome you into Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. All right, I'm pumped tonight. I am so excited with what's going on with the U.S. men's national team. Of course, it is very much a measured excitement because one tournament alone, two tournaments don't necessarily prove anything out, except what now we may really know is that this depth is unprecedented in U.S. soccer history. I am pumped tonight. We got a lot to talk about. We got the Gold Cup to talk about. We got the historic Dynamo Austin FC game tomorrow. That's on Channel 55. That will be taking place at the Q2 Stadium in Austin. Dynamo looking for a first road win. But the U.S. winning a second championship over Mexico, that's big. And we have known all along that there is increased depth in overall player development. But what we must remember, I think, is when everyone was panicking about not making the World Cup, you were getting everybody, you know, commentators coming on and hammering, we got to blow it up. And, you know, you can remember all these things. And it was it was easy, low fruit to hammer that emotional take. And it was not acceptable to not qualify. Now, on the other hand, once you got over the hurt of it, if you were sensible, you were thinking about, wow, guess what we can do now? All these young guys that we're excited about, now we can accelerate their development. We can accelerate their opportunity. Dave Sarakin did that when he jumped in with the national team as the interim coach. Started putting young guys in there. And that talent was then accelerated due to the lack of qualification. So the silver lining there, not qualifying for the last World Cup? Sure, sponsors are going nuts. People are jumping off the ledge. Yeah, because there's so much tied into all this more than just the actual competition. But the beautiful thing is that it accelerated the player development, a lot of these young players. So I remember saying it on this show. I right away, I just was like, you know what? I'm over it in 48 hours. And what an opportunity it is now to fast-track Pulisic, McKennie, Adams, and on. And here we are, measured. Exponential growth. There is depth. Greg Berhalter did a wonderful job with this team in these two tournaments. I love the way how he created two squads here. That was something only Mexico used to do, right? Remember when Mexico would put a B team in a tournament and we'd kind of be like, oh, wow, they have no respect for us. That was because they had a lot more depth than us. I think the tables are turning here. And there are players now like Miles Robinson, Kellen Acosta, who's been revived, Matt Turner, who are now players that Greg Berhalter would not be hesitant in a New York minute to throw into the fire of a World Cup qualifier. So these are unprecedented and exciting times. But let's keep it all in perspective. That's what's the key here. You stay balanced, you stay grounded. But what a gutsy, prideful performance from the U.S. men. How could you not be attracted to youth blooming right in front of your eyes against the greatest rivals? So we're going to talk about it tonight. If you got a take on it, 713-780-3776, 713-780-376, streams at ESPN975.com. By the way, thanks to Craig Koshkin and Jermaine Every, and I'm glad to know they're soccer fans too. So, gentlemen, thank you for enjoying the sport. It is going to be very difficult not following AJ, and it's something I'm going to have to get used to. Because that was a dynamic team, him and Fred, no question about it. And a fun team. They made it fun, and those two guys together always very respectful to the sport of soccer and me, and I've said this many times, I appreciate that. Behind the glass as always, well, not Aaron Raybould tonight, but another guy who's behind the glass a lot and has been on this show for many years, Tyler Scott in there tonight, so we're appreciating Tyler. I want to sew up a few loose ends here in this first segment. We've got Tab Ramos, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo, on tonight. Eddie Robinson and Corey Repkin will join me. Corey with the Houston Chronicle. We will, in segment three, do some Dynamo Austin FC talk. Victor Ariza will join me to talk Mexico and U.S. In the next segment. Jeremiah Bentley of the Moon Tower podcast in Austin on Austin FC. By the way, Austin FC, for all the pomp and circumstance and everything that's going on with them as far as just absolutely blowing it up, it's incredible up there. They're poor fans, though. They're the lowest scoring team in Major League Soccer with 10 goals. They've been shut out three times in a row. They've been shut out 5 out of 6 times at home. So think of this. You got this incredible passionate place. And these fans have not stopped despite being shut out 5 out of 6 and 10 times this season. So is this the time the Dynamo get that first ever road win in a historic game against Austin FC? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what looks to be a Dynamo playmaker being pushed across the finish line. This is kind of the rumors and the things that I'm hearing with Adalberto Carrasquilla, the Panamanian who's been playing in the Spanish second division, once had some interest from Real Madrid B. Be ready for that. And then Brian Chiaretta, American Soccer Now, very, very up on the American player, has good takes. He'll be on the show, Brian, as well. You've heard him before. So exciting stuff tonight here to really get dug into. A couple of things I want to get out of the way here. Texas players going for the gold medal. Houston Dash players, Alicia Chapman, Sophie Schmidt, Nichelle Prince, they are all on Canada, who knocked out the U.S. That's a whole other conversation, the U.S. loss. But let's just say this. It never looked healthy for the U.S. women. They looked listless. I don't think the focus was there for a variety of reasons. The likes of Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, Carly Lloyd, Tobin Heath, Kristen Press, they really didn't deliver. Only one goal from this group. And I think those goals came against New Zealand. And that group only had one goal against Sweden, Australia, the Netherlands, and Canada. Netherlands outplayed the U.S., I thought. They struggled. Limited wide game. Lynn Williams kind of stood out. But that aggressive pressing U.S., it's an older team now. Even Abby Dalcomper struggled. So it was a rough tournament. I think there was just way too many things going on. The focus not there. And now they're in a situation like the U.S. where this will be a wonderful time for the U.S. women's national team to reboot. It's time to move on some of the older players. You got players in their upper 30s that are, I think, very dominant personalities on this team, not necessarily always for the right reasons. And it's time to accelerate the opportunity for others because there's talented women soccer players all over this country. And these great legends, like Megan Rapinoe, like Carly Lloyd, they got to be thanked and they got to move on. But this national team is not sole ownership of anybody. You can ask the 99ers that. You come in, you stick with it as long as possible, but it's not a platform for oneself. It is the U.S. women's national team, which will always stand bigger than any individual players. That's the way it's supposed to be anyway. 713-780-3776 is the number. Also, don't forget, the University of Texas's very talented silky midfielder, Julia Grosso, is also on the Canadian national team. Dynamo Rapids, that'll be August 14th at home. Dash and Spirit, August 13th. I'm going to give away tickets to those tonight. Tonight, all the break music is going to be in honor of the legendary ZZ Top bass man, Dusty Hill. Now, I remember coming here in the 80s to play on the professional soccer team. And Billy Gibbons and these guys would have those cars like, you know, they did driving around town or at nightclubs and things. But what a band, ZZ Top, almost 50 years. And it honestly, it knocked me back to hear, you know, Dusty Hill had passed. I was not ready for that like anybody else. Just sad. I would recommend if you have Netflix, there is a ZZ Top documentary. It is absolutely fantastic. I've watched it 3 times. How these guys met, how they came together, singular moments in their career that catapulted them in differing ways. You know, they got They got the call to open up for the Rolling Stones in Hawaii. This was a big break. They kind of defied what some of their managers were telling them about the 80s and switching, you know, using drum machines and maybe synthesizers and things like that. It is absolutely fascinating. Talented, what a band. And all tonight, the break music is going to be all ZZ Top, and it's for Dusty Hill, and honoring that great man who we hope rests in peace. Also, a couple of people I forgot to mention. The great Paul Mariner passed away. He was a friend of everybody in Major League Soccer. Jimmy Gabriel from the NASL in recent times in Seattle did a lot to build the game out there. And then my former teammate's brother, Zizinho, who played for Club America, along with many of you know Beto DeSantos here in Houston. Zizinho passed away as well. So tough times. Christian Ramirez scored a goal for Aberdeen. Harry Kane failed to report to training. He claims he had a gentleman's agreement with owner Daniel Levy. And there's crazy money being apparently £160 million for Harry Kane, huh? Oh, my God. Don't get me wrong. Love him as a player. One of the best. $100 million for Jack Grealish? It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. On this day in 1999, Thierry Henry signed for Arsenal. Two-time Premier League champion, four-time Golden Boot winner, only player to do 20 goals and 20 assists in a Premier League season, and Arsenal's all-time leading scorer. So for all you Gooners out there, there's one for you. Brazil defeated Mexico on penalty kicks 4-1. They're going to face Spain on Friday. And the women's final is Canada against Sweden. Remember, Sweden pasted the U.S. 3-0. So they may be the favorites going into that one. Canada knocking the U.S. off in the semis on a penalty kick. Tough summer for Mexico, too. Losing in the Nations League final to the U.S. 114th minute penalty kick from Christian Pulisic. Gold Cup final, they concede in the 117th minute to Miles Robinson. And then in the Olympics, they lost on penalty kicks to Brazil, although Brazil probably had the better of the run of play in that one. All right, let's hear from Greg Berhalter. Now, Greg Berhalter deserves tremendous credit with the U.S. national team winning the Gold Cup. Here's Berhalter on the Gold Cup, wanting to win it, but also making sure that he was able to evaluate players in a pressure situation.
You know, I think I've been consistent in saying that we want to win the Gold Cup. You know, from day one that we came in camp, that was our objective. That was the team's goal. And, you know, we thought we had enough quality in the squad to get it done. And, you know, it sometimes looks a little different, and sometimes the shape changes and the personnel change. But, you know, we have guys that are committed to winning and take great pride in when they step on the field to represent the country. So, you know, I think in terms of looking at it differently, I just think this was a great opportunity to evaluate guys in competitive games. And we certainly, you know, have been able to do that in this tournament.
So check this out. So who would be hesitant to play Matt Turner? You got to think Matt Turner's in the top three goalkeepers for the U.S. What if Matt Turner's playing consistently for the New England Revolution and Zach Steffen's backing up at Manchester City and not getting games? Do you play Matt Turner? 713-780-3776. Matt Turner had 26 saves, plays for the New England Revolution. Amazing story. 17 years old, 16, took up soccer. Had 26 saves throughout the tournament, five shutouts, and wins the goalkeeper, best goalkeeper of the tournament award in the Gold Cup. Other guys I would point to. Especially in the final, that just the crazy work ethic of Paul Arriola. Kellen Acosta, who flighted in the delivery to Miles Robinson. Miles Robinson, truly composed at the back. A guy that, you know, lateral cover, very athletic, good in the air. Look, they're dealing with Nunes Foray. And Nunes Foray is very, very experienced striker. In fact, he was moving away from Miles Robinson as much as possible. He was trying to get himself matched up with James Sands. James Sands had some shaky moments throughout the tournament, but he played through it. He's a positive. He was shaky against Qatar, had some rough moments with Nunes Foray. But Greg Berhalter stayed with him through mistakes, which I think had to be expected with this team. But Miles Robinson as a center back, positional play, composure, great in the air, ability to cover laterally. And he dealt with Funes Mori. And the youth movement is accelerated. I don't think there's any question. Tata Martino had this to say: it's not a catastrophe. There are lessons to be learned, as in any game. We circulated the ball well. He's not going anywhere. Mexico's questioning a lot of the players. We will talk about that tonight. There are players that are getting some. Their wide game was getting criticized pretty heavily. And their outside backs were getting criticized quite heavily, I would say. You know, look, this was, as Berhalter said, this was a very prideful performance. Here's Greg Berhalter on what he was most proud of when it comes to the U.S. winning the Gold Cup.
You know, when I look back on it, I'm most proud for the team, for the guys. You know, we were together for a month, and we just saw them growing. We saw the team growing. We saw individuals growing and improving. We saw the team chemistry growing. And, you know, before the final today, there was a feeling inside of me that I just wanted it so bad for them that they can taste this and they can win a trophy together. So, you know, really proud of the group, really proud of their resiliency. And, you know, when you look at the game today, we did not stop. It was relentless from us. And that was, you know, a mark of a good team.
Boy, was it. I mean, if you watch that Gold Cup final, I mean, this is two heavyweights going at it, and there was nobody backing down. And that, you know, was kind of a throwback trademark performance of the early U.S. teams. And again, this was a team, very young guys, a lot of young guys out there in this game, sprinkled in with a few veterans. But it was highly impressive. The way the players handled themselves, the pride with which they played, the way they supported each other, it all bloomed in front of our eyes in this game. And look, they had shaky moments. Mexico could have scored two goals in the first 20 minutes. If you remember, Mexico scored right away in the Nations League final. And the U.S. collected themselves and then went on to win 3-2. But I did see Tata Martino, the head coach of Mexico, lamenting the fact that they didn't take some early chances. But I think that never say die, that never quit attitude is really back with the United States now. And these young guys are trying to make this their team. There is incredible competition, which is only going to make all ships rise with the tide. It's a beautiful thing for the United States right now. Now, it all won't mean anything if you don't qualify for the next World Cup, because this group needs to. And then to get a World Cup under your belt with it here in 2026 would be a great thing. By the way, speaking of World Cup 2026, we are a city that's trying to get it here. Today, Dynamo owner, big ups to him, Ted Siegel, donating $100,000 to soccer programs throughout the city. So the new owner of the Houston Dynamo is already making some things happen. So it's good to hear that, and it's good to see him come in and make some waves here. You know, we get Teenage Adebi, Dynamo's defending better. So we're going with Pearl Necklace. Our good friend Joel Blank likes this song. We're going to continue to do ZZ Top music for Dusty Hill. Quick word here for the presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, are going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm have been getting soccer on the airwaves here for a number of years. They're the presenting sponsor of this show, and they also have a show, also present our show in Austin, Texas on the Horn. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue to talk some Gold Cup Mexico and the United States men's national team. We'll take your calls as well, 713-780-3776. Don't cost that much. If I'm in there, I was getting blown away.
for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
One of my favorites, heard it on the X. I never forget my neighbor, my buddy in my neighborhood came over with the Fandango album. And there they were, ZZ Top in these bejeweled kind of country suits with the big hats. Now, we had never seen a cowboy hat in New Jersey at that point, quite frankly. And we put on Tush, which we'll probably play in one of these breaks. And we all were just silent because we loved rock music. And then the song ended, and my one neighbor, his name was Ray, looks at me and he goes, "Damn, these cowboys can play." And yes, they can. ZZ Top, 50 years. Playing ZZ Top music tonight for Dusty Hill, and that is a great song called Heard It on the X. It's one of my favorites, and you could hear Dusty Hill whipping it off on the bass there. All right, so we welcome you back to Soccer Matters here. Quick word for FM Kitchen and Bar. By the way, I always tell you about the one that's located north of Washington Avenue on Shepherd. It's a great one. It's like a beer garden, open on the outside, craft cocktails, all kinds of great fresh food. Great spot. All kinds of monitors there. It's tremendous for sports. And they have a new location at 907 Westheimer. Now, it's right next to Velvet Tacos. Get down there. That's a great location right there, Montrose and Westheimer. It is FM Kitchen and Bar, and we thank them for their support of this show. And when you want a good craft cocktail and you want good food, you want both, FM Kitchen and Bar is a great place to go. And the patio, you can bring your dogs, bring your family. It's really wide open, a lot of area and outdoor and indoor monitor. So very cool spot, both at 907 Westheimer and north on Shepherd of Washington Avenue. All right, a couple of things to think about here as we come back. And in a second here, we're going to bring on Victor Ariza. We do have tonight out at Hugh O'Connor's Marquee Entertainment Center. It is Tuesday night's half price bangers and mash. And they've got incredible selection of beer and whiskeys out there. So it's Hugh O'Connor's in the Marquee Entertainment Center. And remember, that's where we had all of our great live shows during the Euros. So a big thank you to Peter and Dave out there and everybody who was so hospitable to us while we did that live show. Live shows are different. They're fun. And we were really appreciative of Hugh O'Connor's Pub. So get out there. Premier League's getting close to getting started again. Not this weekend, the next one. And there's a lot happening. All right, let's continue the talk here. We bring on from the Striker, and you know Victor from his time working with me here on Soccer Matters, where he has done tremendous work. Victor Ariza joins us now. Victor, how are you?
Good, Glenn. Always a pleasure to join the show.
Yeah, thanks for coming on tonight. Appreciate all the great writings, the coverage of the Dynamo. You've been a very, very busy guy right now. So before we get into the Dynamo, I do want to talk to you about Mexico. And I've done some reading today, Victor, of some of the feedback that's coming out of Mexico. And I know you have as well. And as always, Hugo Sanchez, the legendary player, has obviously weighed in. So maybe you just take a minute or two here and just give us your take of what you've learned about the reaction from Mexico after losing in the Gold Cup final to the U.S.
Well, it's obviously categorized as a failure. It's not, you know, Mexico is seen as a dominant team in the region, especially, I mean, at least in Mexico, and we know what this rivalry means for both sides. But it's not seen as so much of a failure that I mean, well, it depends, I guess, what's your point of view, but I think the consensus is, should Tata Martino be fired as a head coach? I think some fans want to see it. Obviously, the performance of the Olympic team and Jimmy Lozano, you know, the former Mexican player with them is obviously brought up. But I think overall, you know, the biggest importance is the World Cup qualifiers for most people, I think, except Hugo Sanchez. But we always got to remember that the Mexican legend, for as great a player as he was, you know, a bit controversial as a manager of the national team, and he had his run-ins with Ricardo La Volpe, the former Argentine, who came right before him. He's not a fan of foreigners on the national team, whether it be players or coaches. So always his opinions are going to be very harsh.
Victor Ariza of The Striker joining us here. So I got a couple of different takes. Well, first of all, I mean, anybody who's going to fire Tata Martino at this point, ahead of World Cup qualifying in September, you know, listen, we don't put it past the Mexican Federation, but it seems like everything that I've been reading. I went to El Universal, and I also went to Mediotiempo.com, which I think are pretty reputable places for sure. They made it very clear the Federation is still behind him. And I saw a lot of it put back on the players. I saw a lot of criticism of Tigres' Chaka Rodriguez. I saw a lot of criticism of Jesus Gallardo. Salcedo had a nightmare against the U.S. He didn't even look comfortable. As good as we've seen him play for Tigres, that was weird. So this is a good dose of reality, I would say.
Energy.
Yeah, I would say this is a good dose of reality, wouldn't you? And it's a tournament, though, that, you know, let's face it, Canada took the game to Mexico in front of a pro-Mexican crowd at Energy Stadium.
Right, and I think the perspective here that I think everybody kind of wants to make the point is that it's a weird year, right? And Mexico's squad is divided in two tournaments. It's divided in the Olympics, and it's divided in this Gold Cup. Theoretically, you'd have a mix of the two, right? And there's some young players, just like the U.S. was able to call up younger players for this Gold Cup. You know, some of the younger players that Mexico would have called, like Alexis Vega or Diego Lainez, even, you know, guys like veterans like, you know, Luis Romo, Memo Ochoa, those guys, Henry Martin, who's, you know, the other number nine, right, just behind Saul Jimenez, who obviously would have been more direct competition to Funes Mori. Those guys are not available, and those guys are missing. So I think, you know, that's one of the things looked at. But obviously Mexico had enough firepower to take it to the United States and win this Gold Cup, and I think ultimately that's what everybody looks at. To go to your point, I think that's probably one of the biggest things. Jare Borghetti, obviously another Mexican legend, kind of stressed the same way. I think this is the overall call to action or attention to, you know, there's not a lot of wiggle room for making mistakes with the upcoming World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, this a lot of times these things are perfect. I mean, look what happened to us when we didn't qualify for the last World Cup. You know, commentators going nuts. We got to blow it up. We got to start over. You're going to hear Tab Ramos later address that. I thought it was nonsensical. I thought some people were trying to get the limelight and were definitely going to fire the emotional card, and they did, and they got a lot of support for it. And there may have been some truth to things that were said, but by no means did the youth setup need to be blown up. And this actually, like I said in the opening segment in my monologue, this accelerated player development for the likes of Pulisic, Adams. This got us into the mood of now making this a new, younger national team. Now the U.S. women are going to have to parlay this too. It's time for a lot of older players to move on. They've occupied the seats too long. I think it's been a little bit detrimental. It's always hard to know when to move legendary players on. We know that. But national teams are not built for individuals. They're individuals that come in and perform for a country, a federation, and everybody else, as well as themselves. So, I think it's pretty interesting. I think Mexico will bounce back very strong from this. I don't think there's any question, and I think the U.S. has to keep themselves grounded here, but I think all in all, we realize that we now have far more depth, and we found a number of players that, you know, who performed in that environment and performed well in it in front of a pro-Mexican crowd.
Right. It is kind of a little funny, though, because it's, you know, the nationalistic card does come out with Hugo Sanchez, where, you know, they ask, you know, well, what are we really losing, right? I mean, I think that's the point, that it's, you know, what's a failure? There's really no value to this Gold Cup, right? That's kind of what they point, that the big moneymaker or the big will focus for Mexico is the World Cup qualifiers and making it to a World Cup as it is with the United States, I think. But Hugo Sanchez saying, you know, what are we losing? We're losing time and money, right? Tata Martino's cashing a paycheck, his words, money that could be going to a Mexican that would feel the losses. He doesn't feel a foreign coach feels those kinds of losses. And, well, he's obviously going to be the harshest critic. And then obviously, nationalizing, a foreigner like Funes Mori,
who didn't have
his best tournament, when you have a guy like Chicharito and that whole drama, but obviously that's another conversation.
2 minutes, Victor, I'm going to lead you into this one. Argentine journalist Pablo Carroza said, if Mexico were in CONMEBOL, they would come in last. Now, I'm sure he was trying to get a rise with that statement. What do you think of that?
Well, I'll tell you what, Hugo Sanchez said something similar. He said, you know, when he didn't win with Mexico in 2007, immediately he went to the Copa America and, you know, finished behind Brazil and Argentina in third place. And that, you know, if this Mexico team, he made the analogy that if Tata were to go with this Mexican team into CONMEBOL, he wouldn't place as high. And, you know, he's kind of lucky that he doesn't have that, you know, extra failure to, you know, really, finish his exit.
Victor, you know what's interesting? A lot of people say this is Tata Martino with a very overrated team.
I don't know if it's overrated, but I do think the pressure, I will say this, and I kind of noticed it with Dynamo a little bit. You know, him and Tab Ramos, similarities, these are coaches that came in to change the culture, and I think the culture is kind of changing them a little bit. Tata doesn't seem as happy, doesn't seem with enough joy. I think that's the biggest thing out of all of this. It's not the same enthusiasm, and we'll see if the pressure gets then coming up next with the World Cup qualifiers.
Very good point. We didn't even get to talk about the Dynamo and Austin FC. I apologize for that, but this was good stuff on Mexico. Mexico will be back. Maybe these losses are very timely for them. They'll be ready for World Cup qualifying. Victor, thank you so much for coming on tonight, as usual, and providing good insight.
Well, thank you.
All right, that's Victor Ariza, the striker. You can catch his writings there. He covers the Dynamo. We didn't even get into the Dynamo, but we were so into Mexico. All right, quick word here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. Now, look, I've driven a BMW for quite some time, and Advantage BMW Midtown is the place to go if you want to get into a luxury vehicle. I've leased, I've bought from them. I've had sedans. I'm in SUVs now. The thing I like at Advantage BMW Midtown is the customer service. It's excellent. I mean, they're going to take care of you like there's no tomorrow. Advantage BMW will cover you in sales, service, and finance. It'll be done so easy. Get yourself in a 3, 5, 7 series. Advantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go down there, ask for Justin and Steven. And this is Soccer Matters, and it's always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You get in any type of accident, John and his firm will have you covered. When we come back, Eddie Robinson, who will be on the broadcast on television, Channel 55 tomorrow with me, covering the Dynamo Austin FC, and Corey Repkin of the Houston Chronicle, up next.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, listen to that bass, Dusty Hill. That's that little old band from Texas, ZZ Top. 50 years together, these guys. Playing ZZ Top music and all the breaks tonight. In our small way, just acknowledging the passing of the great bass man, Dusty Hill. Welcome you back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. That one shook me up, and I know it's shaking a lot of people up, because there is a big sense about Houston around Dusty Hill, Billy Gibbons, and Frank Beard. All right, Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's time to talk some Houston Dynamo and Austin FC. We bring in both Eddie Robinson and Corey Repkin of the Chronicle. Eddie will be on the call tomorrow night on Channel 55 with moi as we cover Austin FC and the Houston Dynamo. Gentlemen, welcome in.
Hey, Dylan, thanks for having me.
Thanks,
Corey,
Glenn.
Eddie.
I don't often do things with Corey because it takes away from my street cred, so he should be fortunate tonight.
Corey's one of us. He's one of our guys. He's one of our guys. He's a good man, and I'll tell you what, he's at every event covering the Houston Dynamo, so we appreciate that, Corey. And by the way, Victor Ariza writes for The Striker. Okay, I want to get right into you. I'm going to start with you, Corey. Just talk about I'm very excited about the historical significance of this. I'm excited about the fact that this is going to be a pretty packed stadium in Austin. They're blowing it up there, although they're not scoring goals. But just from the historical perspective of a first-ever meeting, some of your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I guess it feels kind of weird. I haven't been around forever, but I understand the FC Dallas rivalry pretty well. And you kind of wonder how it's going to fit in, how Austin's going to fit in with that. But I think, you know, we chatted with Boniek Garcia the other day, and he expects it to be a big game for the Dynamo going forward. And if he's saying that, you know, he knows what he's talking about in terms of, you know, who the Dynamo have played. So I think it's something you can be pretty excited about if someone like him is excited.
Yeah, no question about it. El Presidente, a Honduran legend. And Eddie, you know, I'm just looking at this and I'm going, wow, we've got three MLS teams in the state of Texas. Only California has one. And this one's right up the road. I love the geographical connection to this.
I can't remember the last time I saw a Dynamo team get on the bus to go to an away game. I think we did it in preseason to go to San Antonio back in 2006. But other than that, that just shows the proximity of it all. And I think that's fantastic. And, you know, you get online, you get in the social media, fans are talking smack back and forth. I think this is wonderful. It's wonderful for the Dynamo in this situation right now where they need to get a road win. They need to get out of this funk of ties. Austin FC, they want to beat this in-state rivalries. They want to beat Dallas. They want to beat Houston. There's so many storylines that we could talk about. It's going to be a fun night tomorrow night.
No question about it. It's a second game of three in 8 days for both teams. Now, by the way, Austin FC has been shut out in three in a row, five times out of six at home, which is pretty incredible. They are dying to score goals. They're the lowest scoring team in the league. Corey, being in and around it like you are, what's the biggest piece for you when you talk about going on the road and the Dynamo needing to get results? Why has it been such a struggle to you?
Oh, gosh. I think when you go on the road, it's a hostile environment, and sometimes you can get out of whack, and you need someone, you know, a playmaker, someone who can do something extraordinary to kind of lift the team in those tough moments. And you know, the Dynamo have a lot of good players, but I don't know if they have that dynamic playmaker that can really put them over the top, someone they can count on to make a difference, you know, in the attack on a weekly basis. And, you know, I think they've done a good job, you know, scratching and clawing and getting some ties, but until they have someone they can count on, you know, to do that on a regular basis, I think it's going to be a struggle.
So, Eddie, I'm going to take you right into what Corey has segued us into beautifully, which is playmakers, which both of these teams need. Now, Sebastian Driussi is a 24-year-old Argentine that reportedly Austin FC paid $7 million transfer fee. He's a DP signing. He was at Zenit St. Petersburg in Russia for a number of seasons, came through the River Plate system, played at River Plate. He is not expected, from what we're hearing, to play on Wednesday. He could make his debut against Dallas, which wouldn't surprise me because they need help. But these are two teams that have some very good qualities, but in a very similar way, are just missing a bigger piece, a game changer.
Yeah, it's weird, Glenn, when you talk about Austin with Pochettino, with Cecilio Dominguez, with Diego Fagundes even, the players that they have, the quality they have going forward, that they've only scored 10 goals this season, is strange. And, you know, I don't want to be, like sometimes you and I talk about, the curse of the commentator saying they're not scoring goals. It's going to be another good night for the Dynamo defense, who have been absolutely outstanding. But I'm really, really hoping to see a front three for the Dynamo of Fafa Pico, Corey Bears, and Tyler Pasher, because these are guys that through their work rate, their effort, and their ability can create chances. We saw it when Baird and Pasher came on late in the game the other night against Real Salt Lake. I'm hoping to see these guys start. So maybe if there's not that midfield playmaker yet that Dynamo fans are asking for, you've got guys up front that can create something out of nothing. The Dynamo offense has been stagnant, and that's the reason for me they're not winning games either on the road or at home, and they've had so many draws. So I'm really hoping to see a dynamic Dynamo front three tomorrow night.
Talking to former Houston Dynamo Eddie Robinson, Corey Repkin of the Houston Chronicle. I'm gonna segue and kind of parlay off that, Eddie, and say, yeah, I think the best Dynamo chance really to score goals in Austin is going to be off a pressing game that could include those three guys or others. Griffin Dorsey came off a decent game. And I think it's one of these things where they're going to create their chances off winning the ball close to an Austin FC goal, one pass, two pass, three passes, and a shot. That's kind of what I'm thinking. What do you think, Corey?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think one advantage they have, you know, with Tyler on the left and Fafa on the right, and I'm sure Corey Baird will fill in at striker while Maxi is out, but you have the advantage of putting Memo there in the center of the midfield, and I think that's where he's best. And you have that front four, and I think that's pretty good for what they're going to face on Wednesday. And it would not surprise me at all to see, you know, that high pressure play a big role in them scoring a goal. And it really wouldn't surprise me if it happens early, because I think the Dynamo are going into this with I mean, you don't want to say momentum, but I just feel like they feel like they can win this game, and they're going to make sure that they go out on the front foot and make sure that Austin knows that they feel like they can win the game early. And I think that is a big factor of what could put the Dynamo over the top on Wednesday.
Corey, I might have to give you a yellow card. Eddie, did you hear what I just heard? Front foot? Do we have to give him a yellow card for using front foot? That one's pretty common these days.
It's pretty common.
What's wrong with front foot?
Well, there's nothing wrong with front foot, but I didn't know you were born in London, Corey.
Oh, okay. Well, what if I said, you know, I think the Dynamo will be the one asking the questions in the early going. Is that better?
I like it. I like it. But that's why you're a writer. You can come up with alternatives. Beautiful. I love it. All right. Let me get back to, we're just having fun here. Let me get back to Austin FC. They had 57% of the possession against Colorado. So they're different than the Dynamo. I think they can possess the ball a little bit better with their midfield, Eddie. I think the Dynamo, you know, they don't rank high in the league in the possession category. So the pressing game and getting chances off it is a real key. But, you know, what do you think of this team that they put out the last game? Stuver in goal has been unbelievable. Komanich, Beisler, Cascante, Jimenez. I think that back four can be gotten at. Ring is excellent. Fagundes has had a great kind of resurgence. Then you got Tomas Pochettino, Rodney Redis, Dominguez, and Perez. And I'm sure that lineup's going to change a little bit. You might get a Jared Stroud or a Gallagher starting. But what do you think of some of the players that they have overall when you look at Austin FC?
Well, you just covered everything. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to
Well, no, I was just mentioning names because I wanted – yeah, I was just mentioning names.
You and I have had the conversation about Stuver and how good he's been. The Dynamo have had chances in recent games and wasted them. That's something they cannot do. Stuver is an absolutely wonderful goalkeeper. And if the Dynamo think, oh, well, Austin's only scored 10 games this year, they're going to be awful going forward. They have players in Cecilio Dominguez, in Pochettino, and even Alexander Ring, who's more defensive, Diego Fagundes, guys that are able to create individual opportunities out of nothing that can do something special in the moment. So the Dynamo are going to have to be sharp on the defensive side of the field. What I'm really curious about is who Tab Ramos decides to go with in midfield. Is Memo Rodriguez in there? Does Derek Jones come back in? Is Joe Corona in there after playing both of the last two games? Is it Vera and Seren after the game that they had against Real Salt Lake? Because that, for me, is going to kind of set the tone of what are the Dynamo trying to do? Are they really trying to create chances through possession, or are they trying to counterattack? Because the pace that the Dynamo have up front is absolutely outstanding. So the counterattack is amazing. But if you get that midfield three right and you can win that battle of possession and you can win the second balls in midfield, it might come down to a game of creating chances during the run of play and not just on counterattack. Either way, I think this game is going to be exciting.
I do too. I think both coaches are in similar positions. They've tried through tactics, changing personnel. They've tried everything they possibly can to get their teams to score more goals. I think there's an amazing parallel there. One thing I want to bring out, and I'm going to start with you, Corey, then quickly to Eddie. We got about a minute and a half. The Dynamo have one goal on set pieces and corners. One goal. And after this game tomorrow night, this is the halfway point of Major League Soccer. And when you think about getting wins on the road and changing some of these ties, you have to go to set pieces, don't you, Corey?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, especially the Dynamo who you know, they try to create everything with pressure. If they can't create anything through the run of play, then they need to find another way to score goals, and set pieces is a big part of that. So I certainly think they need to emphasize that going forward.
Eddie, is it different now for the modern center backs and guys like Parker and Teenage Adebi to get on the end of delivery now? Is it a little different, you think, from your time? Is there a little bit more clutching and grabbing?
I mean, I don't think so. This situation with Dynamo is service. Look at how many clearances that Tim Parker and Teenage Adebi have, the center backs. Let them get on the end of crosses, get good service. The service, for the most part, has been awful this year. Hopefully Tyler Pascher is on the ball on set pieces tomorrow night because he's been great with his service.
Well, a good thing to note is Tab Ramos told me they've been working on their set pieces this week. Maybe they get their first this weekend. They got to get some goals out of Tim Parker and Adebi. Eddie Robinson, Corey Repkin. Guys, great job. Thank you for coming on, Corey. I was only fooling around, but when this is over, I want you to get on the front foot and get flying into something else, whether it's walking the dog, making dinner. You get on the front foot.
I am already there. Thank you.
You're the best, Corey. Right. Thanks so much, Glenn, for coming on. And
see you
also,
soon, Corey.
Eddie, thank you for coming on. Great job,
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
All right. We got just got paid. Another classic. All right. We're going to keep this things rolling here. Next segment coming up, I think we're going with Brian Sciarretta. And Brian Sciarretta of American Soccer Now. We're going to talk some Gold Cup stuff. We will then go to Moon Towers, Jeremiah Bentley. Talking the Austin FC perspective. We'll finish on a big note tonight with Tab Ramos. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.